picture this. You're having a normal day, normal life. You're living your life, you're making plans. Maybe you're even feeling like you've got a few of those things in life sort of figured out. And then God shows up with a completely different script, one that doesn't make any sense. And your first response isn't that God has shown up. That's probably exactly where Mary and Joseph found themselves. If we could sort of step into their sandals, as it were, in the days before the birth of Jesus, we probably would be very surprised at how they would feel and how we would feel. The nativity scenes that we see pictured or that we might have displayed in our homes show them as calm, you know, composed, serene, a little detached really from reality, almost like they're posing for a Christmas card. But the truth is, their journey started with shock, awe, lots of uncertainty, really awkward conversations, and serious, those conversations carried with it serious social risk. And in our videos that we've been seeing over the last month in our series, Mary often serves as this calm voice of wisdom. She sees the deeper truth, whether she's speaking with Gabriel in week one, or the shepherds in the second week, or the wise men from last week. But her story began with her heart racing and her mind spinning. The angel that came to visit her, who gave her that divine announcement, meant that her life was about to radically change in ways that is very difficult to sort of soft pedal, right? And certainly in ways that she couldn't predict, she certainly couldn't control, and she absolutely probably couldn't fully understand. And then there's Joseph. His story, the story where we pick up him in the story, begins with an incredibly difficult decision. Would he believe Mary's very hard to believe explanation for her pregnancy, or would he quietly step away from this woman that he loved to protect both of their reputations? And I love what Mary says. She always has such a great way of summing everything up. She says Jesus came to disrupt everything and everyone. And I think that is a very important, but it's a very hard truth. I don't like that, right? But we need to accept, we need to really get our heads around this idea that the abundant life that Jesus promised that he came to bring will rarely, if ever, slide seamlessly into our current way of thinking or our current way of life. And I think that's what makes Mary and Joseph's story so, well, I think it's so powerful in the face of what was really bewildering. We've gotten comfortable with their story. But if we put ourselves in their shoes when all of this was when it was ripe, you know, happening in time, there was immense unknown, incredible costs, and incredibly risky. But both Mary and Joseph found the courage somewhere to say, yes, Lord. And so today I want to look at their answers a little bit and kind of unpack three truths that we can see from their lives and how these truths may actually transform the way in which we can respond when God comes calling and when he makes his invitations. First truth is that God's call defies our expectations, always defies our expectations. And if we take a look at Mary's story, it begins but we can read it in the book of Luke. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's Mary's cousin, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Pause there for a second. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Pause. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For no word from God will ever fail. Pause. Now, I'm not sure how long this pause is. When you read it in the book of Luke, it's the next sentence. But there's got to be a pause here. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. I think when we get to meet up with our ancestors in heaven, I really want to say to Mary, listen, this is how the doctor, Luke, got this all out. And as we know, doctors, they tend to be, you know, check, 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 check. Tell me a story. Let's, you know, I want to know how long did this transpire? Was the announcement, it seems like it all happened at once, and you just said, okay, may it be. How long was the pause? Was it 10 minutes? Was it an hour? Was it a day? When did this, when you were retelling the story to Luke, how much time actually elapsed? Mary was a young woman at this time, most likely a teenager, from Nazareth, which was this basically a fairly insignificant town that was kind of like the ancient equivalent of a small farming village that most people would drive their camels or their donkeys through without stopping. In her culture, engagement wasn't just a promise ring, with an Instagram announcement. It was legally binding. The betrothal period probably lasted up to about a year, but during that time, you were considered married, even though you were not living together under the same roof. It was legally binding, the Jewish betrothal period. So to become pregnant before the wedding ceremony was really an incredible social scandal. She would be pushed away. She would be rejected by her sort of inner circle, her relational circle, including her own family. It could mean legal consequences, because oftentimes families there would be a certain amount of negotiation when it came to marriages and families coming together. This would have been breaking that contract. It could even mean death. So this is not just what will be. This is significant. Yet, what happens in this, and I think this is fascinating, God's messenger, the angel, arrives in the midst of her ordinary, somewhat predictable life. She didn't see it coming, but there's this world-changing message that will disrupt everything and everyone. And I love this about the story. God did not send Gabriel to a palace in Jerusalem, to the temple in Jerusalem. He showed up in Mary's normal day as she was going about her normal life, probably while she was doing normal things, drawing water, maybe helping with household tasks, maybe even daydreaming or planning, you know, what her life is going to be like when her and Joseph are able to be together under one roof. And the truth is, I think we need to pay attention to this. God's invitation often arrives during the ordinary moments of life. Sometimes we come, we gather on a Sunday, and we think, okay, this is when God is going to speak to me. The truth is, God is continually speaking. And in this instance, God was speaking and came speaking in the midst of a very normal moment. Sometimes God's announcements, his call, they're like getting an email that doesn't really have any subject line. It's kind of just there. There's an instruction, maybe, and a promise that he will fill in the rest as we go. And that's probably how it felt for Mary. Gabriel basically said, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah. And when she asks for specifics, the answer from Gabriel was, the Holy Spirit's going to take care of the details. And if you're like me, and I think many of us are very like-minded, we want the arrival of Jesus in our lives to be kind of like our Christmas card nativity scenes, you know, peaceful and without disruption. Because the truth is, our lives are already very, very noisy and messy, and Jesus will come and help to clean all of that up, which is true. But here's the question. Has God ever really done anything the way you or any of us would expect? No. If you look in Scripture, there's almost everyone is an example of that. Gideon, God raised up this guy who was not a soldier at all, gave him an army and then took it away. Daniel rose to prominence and then ends up being in a lion's den for standing up for the very God that put him in that position of authority. David, the least amongst his brothers, overlooked and becomes the king of Israel. Joshua, leading the Israelites when Moses, who had been handpicked, passes away. If you look through Scripture, I think every single person that God calls, they never look like the ones, and God never shows up in their life in a way that they could prepare for or expect. He always defies expectations. And why should we not expect that? Because he's the one who tells us in his word, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." And then he goes on to say, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And I love it, though, in this passage that the prophet Isaiah, who shares this, goes on to actually not just leave us there with like a mic drop moment, clarifies and actually illustrates and reassures us about God's power and his purposes. He says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." God's call defies our expectations. So be prepared for God's call, God's voice, to interrupt your comfort in the midst of your routine, probably. The next time that you feel that nudge to step out and take a step of faith, to serve, to give, maybe to have a difficult conversation, don't dismiss it because it doesn't necessarily fit in your timeline or because it doesn't make immediate sense. The other thing we can do in the midst of that is to support the people around us. When we're talking to people in our relational circle, maybe it's your small group, maybe it's, you know, in just the relationships that exist in church, in our gatherings, because someone else might say to you that they feel God has called them to something risky. I think God might be calling me too. And, you know, my encouragement is don't be the voice of caution that talks them out of it, but be the voice of encouragement that helps them discern what it is that God might be saying. And I think as a church, one of the things that I love about Nashville Road is that we are intentional. When we're having our conversations, I think we're really intentional about celebrating when people take a step of obedience, even if it doesn't fit what we would kind of think would be the best for that person, or it doesn't fit our expectations or our strategic plans. Some of the most beautiful ministries that take place in and around Nashville Road started when someone said yes to God's unexpected invitation. I think of, you know, pretty much any ministry that's going on here was started because God put something on someone's heart. I think about people, you know, I think about the prayer bearer ministry that I walk by almost every day coming in here, and I think that was Janice's call to help people feel a sense of God's presence and that they are being prayed for and not alone. By the way, we had a beautiful opportunity this past week to deliver the baskets that Janice made with the gift cards that Nashville Road gave to Bethel Hospice. I'm going to quickly tell this little story. It was such a cool moment. we got to go there and hand them off, and they were obviously very grateful. And so after Janice and I left, we got an email from the lady who sort of coordinates it there, and she said, "I want to tell you this story. Someone who's there supporting a family member who's a resident came out and saw these baskets that hadn't yet been delivered, and said, 'Oh, I'd love to buy one of those. Can you please tell me how I go about doing it?'" And the person that she talked to didn't really know, you know, what to say. She said, "Well, let me check on it." By the time that lady got back to her room with her loved one, a basket had been delivered, because that was the intent. She didn't obviously have to buy it. She was overjoyed. And I think about that. That's just like, Janice, I'm pointing this out, and I know you don't want to be, but when I introduced us, I said, so Janice is the brains and the brawn behind the beauty of these baskets. And it was just a really, really cool moment. But that was a step to take something and make it go. I think of Rita. I think of others. I think of Women's Connect. I think of Men's Ministry. I think of our nursery. I think of Kids Connection. These are all things that were started by people who had a heart and listened to God when it didn't really, really make sense. So God will always, his call will always defy our expectations. Secondly, God's plan will challenge our defined loyalties. When God makes a call, he will challenge, and his plan will challenge those loyalties that we have. This is what we read in the book of Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, the religious law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Now, I would also like to talk to Joseph. I'm looking forward to that, to saying, okay, so you had in mind to go this path. How long had you been considering? How long did you wait? How long did you process? Just says, but after he had considered this, an angel appeared to him in a dream. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. So Joseph, most of us understand Joseph to be a carpenter. He was actually a craftsman, which in Greek actually could mean a carpenter, could mean a stone worker. It could mean a sort of a general contractor. But he had a job, he had a business to run, he had a reputation to maintain, he had a community that knew him and knew him as a faithful, religious, law-abiding man. And then Mary, who he is engaged to, shows up pregnant. So I don't know about that conversation. That's another one I would like to be a part of and say, okay, I can just hear Mary, because I'm often when it comes to Les and I often lead with this. Les, you're going to think this sounds crazy. But I'm sure Joseph fully understood when Mary said, "Joseph, you're going to think this sounds crazy, but an angel visited me, and I'm carrying the Son of God." And again, I don't know how long that pause was. I'm not sure where these conversations fit in. When you watch The Chosen, the Holy Night, they do a beautiful job of sort of reconnecting that. But I'm not sure how it worked linear, because Joseph had every right. He could save face. He had every legal, social, and religious right to walk away from the situation. In fact, that's what Matthew told us he was planning to do. But he was planning to do it quietly so as to spare Mary public shame, which I think tells us something really beautiful about Joseph's character. He was planning to do it in the best way possible, but then God interrupts Joseph's plan with a dream. For Joseph, saying yes to God meant accepting the inevitable public misunderstanding, the gossip that would come with Mary's pregnancy, his reputation, probably his business, his relationships would certainly take a hit. People would whisper, they'd point, and they'd certainly make assumptions about his character. For Mary, saying yes meant risking everything. Her relationship, her standing in the community, her relationship with Joseph, her family's honor, and potentially her life. In the video, our Mary says that Jesus came to disrupt everything and everyone. And again, I'm one who's like, no, I don't want disruption. I want reconciliation. I want things coming together. I don't want things being pulled apart. And I often think, well, if things are getting pulled apart, God cannot be in it. But I don't think you could say that. I don't think if I said that to Mary and Joseph, I think they'd say, yeah, that was our first thought. But as we considered it, we took that step, which was a step of faith. Jesus actually said later on that his arrival would cause challenges to our allegiances. It's recorded in the book of Luke. Do you think I have come to bring peace on earth? Or peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but division. So in other words, not peace, division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two and two against three. And now that doesn't sound very peaceful. In fact, it probably sounds like many Christmas things that we're going to attend at some point, right? But Jesus is not saying I came intentionally to divide, but the choice to follow me will challenge those allegiances, those defined allegiances and loyalties. Both Mary and Joseph chose faith over their fears. They chose to obey over their reputation, and they chose God's approval, and this is the toughest one, God's approval over public opinion that seems so important and powerful, but temporal. In today's terms, if we were to look at it, it's saying yes to something that pretty much causes everybody around you to raise their eyebrows. Maybe your classmates or your coworkers to kind of whisper when you pass. Definitely your family to question your judgment. It'd be like leaving a secure job to start a ministry or serve someplace overseas. Maybe it's standing up for what's honorable and right in a group, a very powerful group. It might cost you relationally, socially, even professionally if it's your job. Maybe someone says to you, you know what? Or you say to someone, you know, we're thinking of adopting, and they say, listen, at 50 or 60? I mean, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why would you do that? Or choosing to forgive when everybody can justify why you're allowed to stay angry or even allowed to get yours for the person that hurt you. Or giving when it means a cutting back in lifestyle. Mary and Joseph show us that following Jesus, not just sometimes, to be honest, following Jesus will always mean choosing a much more challenging path because it's the right path. And when you wonder, this is really costing me, this is a challenge to my life and this calling, it's tough. Remember Mary's words that Jesus came to bring disruption. Honoring God will always, always, always involve some kind of cost to our comfort, to our reputation, to our security. I love that if you're looking at the book of Malachi is the last book in the canon of Scripture in the Old Testament, and the book of Matthew, which is the first in the New Testament. In between those periods, God was silent. There was 400 years of silence where God did not speak to his people. And I love that the first words that God speaks after 400 years of silence are what? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You know, when you haven't talked to someone for a length of time, whether that's might be your spouse if you're having a difficulty. It's one of those, you're having a disagreement. a difference of opinion, it might be friends, it might be some whatever. There's sometimes we start to formulate in our minds what, I wonder what, you start to lose what their character's like. And God starts, after 400 years of silence, it's the best announcement. And the first thing he says is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So don't let the fear, then, of what somebody else might think, someone that you value their opinion, don't let your fear of what they might think keep you from considering what God is asking you to do. And so I think as a body, one of the things we can continue to do, and I love hearing about it through, you know, whether it's our men's breakfast or it's Women's Connect or it's something else, that when I hear about other people standing with others to encourage them when their obedience makes life harder in the short term. We want to be people who say, I'm proud of you for following God. Even and especially when we don't fully understand it. It doesn't make sense to us. Sometimes doing the right thing, in fact, a lot of times doing the right thing means standing alone, but it doesn't mean standing without the support from the body of believers. So, God's call always, it messes around with our expectations. His plan challenges our defined loyalties, both within ourselves and within our relationships, but God's promises deliver despite the danger. God's promise will be to deliver in spite of the danger. In Luke chapter 2, we read, in those days, Caesar Augustus, who was the sitting Caesar, issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Big picture on this. The fulfillment of God's promise did not come with comfort and convenience. Didn't come wrapped in that. The journey to Bethlehem would have been about 90 miles of really difficult travel for the best of times, let alone the fact that Mary was very 9 months pregnant. When they arrived, there wasn't any room for them. There was no comfortable birthing suite. There was no family nearby to help. The delivery room, as most of us know, was a stable. The baby's first bed was a feeding trough. And I wanted to say thank you to Chris for making us a new manger, that one that actually looks like it could actually hold a baby. But you know what? That's actually probably much more beautiful than it actually was. Many of the feeding troughs, as you may know, might not have even been made out of wood. They could have been made out of stone, concrete, mud, hardened. So this was not shaping up to be anything close to what Mary might have begun to envision when she said, let it be so, I am the Lord's servant. But it was exactly as God had planned, fulfilling these ancient prophecies, bringing salvation and rescue to a world in the most humble, unexpected way possible. And if you think about what Mary was experiencing 9 months earlier, an angel had promised that she would give birth to the Son of the Most High, who would reign on David's throne forever. Now, here she is in a cave out behind someone's house, giving birth in a manger, surrounded by all of those sounds and smells of the animals. But when she looked down at this baby's face, can you imagine that? She's holding the fulfillment of every promise that God had pointed to through the Old Testament. Emmanuel, God with us, in her hands. Mary's yes to God did not lead to an immediate, easy road, but I think it's beautiful that it led to the presence of God, not only in her arms, but to the whole world. And I think this goes with Mary's, that Jesus came to bring, to disrupt everything and everyone. Sometimes God's promises do not remove the struggle. They are revealed by the struggle. God's promises don't remove the struggle in the moment. They are revealed by the struggle. Both Mary and Joseph had to learn that God's timeline isn't always our or their timeline. God's methods aren't rarely what we might expect or in the time that we expect, but God's faithfulness is always certain. Mary had to wait 9 months to see this promise fulfilled. Joseph had to endure lots of whispers and gossip and people maybe turning away from him. They both had to trust that God's plan in those when the going got tough was bigger than their comfort. And they had to believe that saying yes to God would ultimately be worth whatever it is that cost them. And it was. The baby in the manger became the savior of the world. When Jesus, and what Mary said, I think it's hard, it's a hard truth. He did come to disrupt everything and everyone. And therefore, God's promises will always require perseverance before we see their fulfillment. So when God has nudged you towards something, don't give up on what he's called you into just because you don't see the immediate results or it doesn't feel comfortable. The other thing, too, is we get to walk with one another in the waiting. And when we get to share our stories, we also get to share our journey. And we get to remind one another of God's faithfulness when we are tempted to give up on God's promises. And the other thing, too, I would say is we need to keep our eyes on God's long-term faithfulness. One of the things that we've done as a family over a number of years now, someone suggested it, and I thought it was great. We just have done it. We have a jar. I don't think we did it as deliberately this year as intentionally, but we did in the past. And we would write down things that on New Year's Day, we would open the jar and read out these things. And so many of these things were God showing up. Hindsight is 2020. It's a beautiful way to look back and to reaffirm God's faithfulness in our lives. But keep an eye on God's long-term faithfulness. Sometimes it's by looking backwards. Sometimes it's by asking someone, can you help me here? My vision's getting a little blurry. Celebrate those small steps of obedience that we take that certainly lead to bigger breakthroughs down the road. Our yes will bring disruption. It will. I wish I could soft pedal that. I wish I'd just say, yeah, it will, but, and skip past the, right? Jesus' obedience to his Father's love for humanity involved him going to the cross. Mary's yes brought the Savior into the world. Joseph's yes gave Jesus protection, gave Jesus a home, gave him a father's love. Their obedience literally changed the course of human history. And your yes, our yes to God matters just as much. Here's why. Because it's a matter of heart. It's a matter of our hearts. Last week, we said God is interested in our hearts, the center of everything, rather than our attendance at church or the money or anything. In the book of Proverbs, we read, it's God speaking through the writer who says, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. Give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. In other words, decide to follow me and then watch out for what I'm going to do. Decide to follow me and watch what I'm going to do. Our willingness, your willingness to say yes to God's calling will bring the presence of Jesus near into your home, into your workplace, and it might not be immediately felt or noticed into your neighborhood, bring it into your relationships. When we choose obedience over comfort, we choose to trust God over our fears or in spite of our fears, trusting God's big picture plan over our own, we get to be a part of God's redemptive plan in the world. And it absolutely will disrupt your plans. It will likely cost you something. It will cost you an inconvenience. It will lead you down a road that you didn't expect through circumstances many times that will test your faith, will challenge our gravity towards being comfortable and take us out of our comfort zone, but it will always, always lead you to him, and that will be worth it. The same God who was faithful to Mary and Joseph and every single person that you read about in Scripture will be faithful to you. The same Spirit that overshadowed Mary indwells those who put their trust and faith in Jesus. The same love that motivated God to send his Son into the world through two willing servants is the same love that invites you to enter into a relationship, to be in a relationship with him today and be a part of his ongoing and our ongoing story. So, as I close, here's the challenge. God is always speaking. How are we listening? Are we reading his word in a way that allows us to hear how God speaks? He speaks through his word. He speaks through one another. He speaks through the songs that we see. He speaks through his creation. Are we listening? What invitation, can I ask this? What invitation have you maybe got but you've been avoiding because it just seems way too risky or disruptive, certainly too costly at this point, or absolutely not enough certainty? What is something that God has maybe placed on your heart that you've been maybe too afraid to pursue? As we reflect on the Christmas season, as we are rapidly approaching Christmas Day, I encourage you, let Mary and Joseph's story remind us that ordinary people who say yes to God get to do extraordinary things. Get to do, not have to do. Get to do. Hindsight is 20/20. It's a privilege. Your yes to God matters. Your obedience counts. Your willingness to trust God when you can't see the whole picture can change everything for you, for your coworkers, for your classmates, for your neighbors, for your family, and for the world around you. Let's pray. Father, we come at this story every year, and it really isn't just a story we recognize, Lord, that is to be told at this time of year. It's a story to be lived out 365. Thank you, Lord, for the humanness of Mary and Joseph. And Lord, the overwhelming call, and yet the overwhelming presence, and also, Lord, your faithful promise to do exactly what it is that your word said would be done. Lord, may we not just hear and say we heard the Christmas story again, but we would look at two people and see ourselves. Lord, help us to remember your character and have that perspective so that we as Mary can have that courage to say, I am the Lord's servant. And Lord, that we can also have, as we remember your character, your strength, your provision, we can have Joseph's courage to say yes. Father, thank you. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have promised to give us, that we have indwelling us. Lord, that we don't take a step that you are not with us. Father, I confess the desire to finish a task or get this done or see the big picture. And Lord, many times I have short-circuited your call because I can figure a better way to do it because it's too awkward to do it the way that seems right to you. Lord, thank you for a body, a family, people living out your love, that we can live out your love to one another. We can encourage these little steps, whatever they may be. And Lord, help us to be open to hearing, to listening, to not responding right away, but to be the encouragers, to remind one another not to fear, or to ask the question, what is the fear that's holding us back? Continue to draw us closer to one another as we draw ourselves close to you. Lord, you desire our hearts. That's what you want, for reasons, Lord, that because in the giving of ourselves to you, there is blessing, there is peace, there is joy, there is real hope, there's an understanding of love, not temporal love, but everlasting love. And Lord, we come at Christmas again, and we are so, when we look at it, Lord, we rip off the wrapping paper again, and we want to get right into, Lord, the gift. Lord, for some of us, Lord, who have wrapped it and not quite unwrapped it, may, Lord, this season be a time where we just dig in there, we tear the wrapper off, and we say, Lord, lavish your grace upon us, upon me. And we thank you, Lord. We give you honor and glory. You are worthy of all of our praise. Thank you that you are mindful of us, that you know the number of hairs on our head, that you knit us together in our mother's womb, and that you have plans for us, not to accomplish for you, but plans, good plans for us to know who you are and to walk with you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.